there's a commercial that says, when someone speaks, everyone listens. Well, this is a gentleman here that when he speaks, everyone listens. His name is Leroy Downs, otherwise known as the Jazz Cat. And I'm certainly front and center when he speaks. And he's going to be joining us here in about 1 second. So if you could stay on the air and stay on your radio, we'll be right with you. And let's see, we have the Jazz Cat himself. How you doing? Is this Leroy there?
Very good, Jerry. What's that?
Hey, this is one of the highlights of my week down here at KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. We have a beautiful day here, and nothing better than to start it off with Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs.
Well, you say when I see people listen, at least I know I have you as a listener.
Oh, so you have.
That's all I need.
All we have to listen. Look how many thousands of people go to your website.
Well, there are quite a few. I hope they're listening, too. Well, as I do every week, I try to bring the cats that are in the business, that have been in the business, that are new to the business, that are doing some beautiful creating with their music. And my guest this afternoon is pianist Kevin Hayes. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing, Leroy?
Very well, man. How are you?
Great.
Good. You're in Santa Fe, New Mexico?
I am, yeah.
How's the weather out there?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a little windy today, but... the weather's always great, isn't it? And if it rains out here, it's even better.
So oh, wow.
We like that. It's been raining a bit, so it's a beautiful place to live.
Well, you know, jazz music, man, it's an ever-evolving mass of combustible artistic expression that takes on many forms and shapes and colors, and as the millennium progresses, you know, things start to change. When do you feel those shifts and the changes that happen with them in the direction of the music? I mean, where do they take you creatively?
Well, it's a never-ending process, so I don't know that I would necessarily see the milestones myself, you know. But, you know, in general, I think my move out here was probably an important one, which was about 4 years ago. I lived in New York for about 15 years or so, mostly in Brooklyn, where I kind of, you know, had opportunities to play with, you know, great musicians, my peers and you know, older, established players. But I was kind of looking for a change of pace, and I definitely got that by moving out here. I still travel quite a bit, so it's more just a matter of having a home base here, a beautiful place to live.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you about that, because New York has always been, you know, a mecca. But New York is changing us, too. And like yourself, a lot of the players are moving out.
Mm.
And so since you've landed there in New Mexico, are there new cats there for you to play with? Is there an environment for more creativity to grow?
Yeah, there is. There's a handful of very good players here in the Santa Fe or Albuquerque area. It's a good bass player, actually, the one guy who actually wound up co-producing my latest CD. There's a great guitarist out here by the name of Bruce Dunlap, who was running the Santa Fe Jazz Festival for a few years. There's a great club performance space that I used to work a little bit before I moved out here in Albuquerque called The Outpost. So there's definitely playing opportunities out here. It's not, you know, there's not as many musicians as there are in New York, obviously, but, you know, I kind of knew that coming out here, and, you know, when I go on the road, I play with a lot of my friends still from New York and the East Coast, and so it's worked out nicely.
You're listening to Kevin Hayes right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Live with the Jazz Cat segment with Leroy Downs on the For Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. The dream state is spectacular in how it blends realities with possibilities. And it's where so many beautiful ideas that we experience artistically, you know, in music and film and books, this is where all these things stem from. You have a new project you just talked about you're working on called Dreamer. It's not been released yet, but it deals with that particular existence.
Yeah.
How do you dream, and what effects does it have on your composition?
Well, not sure how I dream exactly, but I mean, the idea was kind of, you know, the title track, which is The Dreamer, came out of an improvisation, actually. It was a live gig, a solo concert that I played in Stockholm. And I had recorded this, and And when I listened back to it, I thought, you know, that could really be a nice tune. So I basically transcribed it because it was completely improvised on the spot. It wasn't a long melody, but it was long enough to have to transcribe it and write it down. And, you know, it turned out to be, you know, it just had that sort of feeling to me. It just, I was traveling solo, as I said, and I had been messing around a little bit with some electronics and processing my voice. And also, at this point, I was just kind of whistling in this melody into the microphone as I was playing chords behind it, and it sort of came out. And it just sort of, it had this ethereal kind of dream-like quality to it. And then, you know, the sort of theme, I guess, developed around that. It just sort of, it's interesting how these themes develop. It wasn't really a conscious choice, you know, like I'm going to analyze that kind of thing. But a lot of the songs kind of refer to this sort of state, or, you know, for instance, this one tune, Question, is kind of a dream sort of experience of a soldier, you know, in Iraq and desert, you know, encountering this sort of apparition of a woman and having this experience with her, and, you know, describing, you know, his experience of that. And so it all kind of has that sort of quality to it. And it wasn't necessarily an intentional thing. It just kind of evolved that way.
Well, you know, generally music kind of evolves that way naturally on its own. It's hardly ever, well, I don't want to say it's hardly ever intentional. There is music that is intentional, but when it comes about organically, that's always the best way. And you know the music's got to be good if you yourself were inspired to transcribe your own music. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, I got to get it from wherever I can, you know, and if the well seems dry in the, you know, as you say, in the intentional or the, you know, trying to grind out some piece of music, I said, well, maybe I've got something hidden back and something I created on the spot, or came sort of, you know, as I say, with a lot of this stuff, it kind of seems to come through you sometimes.
Yeah.
If you're in the zone, kind of like the dreams, you know.
Right. That's
it. I think there is a close relationship somehow to, I mean, the unconscious and art. I think it's essential, actually.
You know, I'm hearing some different things from you. You know, you're working with a lot more vocals than I've known you to.
Right, that's true.
We'll talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, it just, again, kind of came out a bit sort of as a outgrowth of what I had been exploring and interested in. And, you know, a lot of times when I write, I will sort of sing melodies to make sure that I'm connecting with them. It's just a way that I've sort of operated in terms of my compositional process, and oftentimes even improvising as well. Singing is so fundamental. It's so basic to being human you know, it just sort of feels like a natural thing to do.
Does it tie you closer to your instrument when you sing and play at the same time? Does it lock you into?
I'm not sure. I think I'm. You know, it depends. I mean, it doesn't always sort of work that way. I mean, it's not sort of a formula, but I think it can be that way. I've noticed at times if I'm feeling a little bit somehow off on a particular night, I may sort of vocalize a bit with my piano and soloing to connect. Not even necessarily with the instrument. The instrument is sometimes it almost feels incidental. I mean, it's more of you know, connecting with oneself, and and I think vocalizing it really brings it into the body. It may be a way of sort of internalizing the music, and I do find it often centering. One thing that it does, you know, especially as a pianist, like when I teach, I describe this to students. You know, as a pianist, we don't necessarily have to breathe except for maybe passing out, you know. But beyond that, I mean, we're not a wind instrument, so the tendency is for a pianist to not pay as close attention to phrasing as perhaps a singer or a horn player. So I think it's a great exercise. I mean, to work with the idea of vocalizing. I mean, the idea of, you know, a phrase being approximately about the length of, you know, one's breath. You know, and not beyond that. But a pianist can kind of just go and go and and go with the same sound until he runs out of gas. You know, where as a horn player, it's more limited, and he has to breathe more often. And that's a musical is an important musicianship thing to learn, especially on an instrument where you can just plow through without much of a pause.
I would tend to agree. I've never thought about it that way, but I guess as you breathe, the other instruments are breathing. Just like the bass player doesn't have to breathe, but that actually seems like it adds another element in
something
that you're trying to create.
Yeah. But he's a little bit more of the heartbeat, I think, is probably part of the, that pulse,
Yeah.
But I mean, when it comes to, somebody really, playing over top of that stuff, you have to create phrases that have a beginning, middle, and end. And, even Coltrane, as much as he played, there was still those breaths in there. It had to be.
Yeah. You're listening to Kevin Hayes on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs, and you're listening to it on the Four Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. We as humans are so individual with respect to our taste, our lives, our attitudes, our belief. But there are times when we do unite for worthy causes. Tell us a bit about Artishare, how it works, and what influence it's had on you and your audiences and the music.
Well, it's a very interesting model. The reason I got involved with it was that it was intriguing in the sense that it's not the normal way of making records for us musicians. It's completely fan-based. So it's a web company where there is a physical CD. It isn't just downloads, although you can download a CD. But what happens is it's the process of fans participating actively in the and getting a window into the creative process. So throughout the course of probably close to 2.5 years now in making this record, there's a tremendous amount of content available in the sort of the making of. It's a little bit of the sort of the extras before the fact, the DVD extras that you like to check out in the making of.
Right.
But you're actually, the making of is happening, you're getting a chance to witness it as it's happening. So there's a lot of stuff like sketches of little tunes that became songs on the record. They were uploaded during the process, and there's a tremendous amount of content. There's journal entries, there's rehearsal recordings, there's photo galleries, there's video. So it's kind of a whole thing. And people can sign up, and even after the fact, I mean, the record's just going to come out in a couple of weeks now. But even after the fact, if they haven't necessarily helped pay for the production of the CD, which is exactly where the money goes, they can still take part in the ongoing process of it and see, kind of how the whole thing came together. So that's the basic idea with Artishare. And so there's these different packages, I guess you would say, participant packages, all the way from, executive producer, all the way through to people taking lessons, online lessons. So it's kind of a full... there's lots of different options for people to help participate, and then all that money just goes towards the production of the music. So that it's really the fans become producers. Really, it's a fantastic idea.
Absolutely, I mean, interactive with
the
artist that you love.
That's right. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, you have 10 recordings as a leader and have played with some pretty notable players. What do you bring to those environments, and what do you take with you in the exchange for your music and your composition?
Mm-hmm. You mean playing with playing as a sideman, or
as a sideman? You play with these cats, and you give them something that they need, and then you take some things from them to
use
in your music.
Well, I mean, all the experiences that I've had, I guess, have added up, to forming who I am as a musician, and the kinds of experiences that I had, particularly when I was living in New York, to play with, sometimes my heroes, guys like Benny Golson or Sonny Rollins or Joe Henderson. I mean, these were like dream come true, you know.
Yeah, I do.
And to have those kinds of experiences are really priceless. And so I'm sure that all of that has influenced, you know, both my writing and you know, just my general music making. And they were just incredible growing experiences and playing experiences for me, and learned just a tremendous amount, you know, playing with people like that. And also my peers, you know, people that are you know, of my generation and came up playing with and is still playing with today, people like Bill Stewart and Seamus Blake and Kurt Rosenwinkel.
That was a great cast to play with.
Yeah, you know, these are my crew, you know.
Right, right.
And so, you know, learning a tremendous amount from them as well. So, you know, all those experiences just have influenced me in different ways.
Well, earlier we just mentioned that, you know, you have about 10 recordings that you've done for different labels. Now you're releasing material on your own label.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the obvious 100% creative control advantages that this brings, what are some of the other pros and cons of doing your own label?
Well, there's the risk factor, of course, with the, you know, in the initial investment stuff. But of course, you said you have, you know, complete control. I never really had much problem with that, maybe because I don't really want to hear it from people. You know, there were times, I mean, when I was on Blue Note, and I did 3 records for Blue Note, and there were times where there was a little bit of tension, you know, like, but it basically worked out. I mean, I think that they knew, I mean, because of the history of that label, I mean, it wasn't really a commercial label, you know, before Norah Jones got on it, you know. So, I mean, that the whole tradition was that the artists were supposed to be the ones, you know, and the producers, of course, who were oftentimes musicians, people like Duke Pearson, you know, that kind of stuff. But was that the, you know, the trust was laid with the artist, and that's, you know, I've had pretty good experiences that way. I can't really complain too much in that way. But definitely, you know, producing your own stuff, it's a more of an outlay of initial investment. And but, you know, the business is changing quite a bit. And,
absolutely.
You know, I still record. I mean, I just did another record for this small Italian label, another trio record, and, you know, different projects going on where people are still funding it. And I think it's, you know, that will continue. I don't think record companies are completely...
I heard you laugh when you said people are still funding it.
Well, you know, it's the business has been really changed by... particularly by the internet. Music isn't any in less demand. It's just the supply has become overwhelming and a lot easier for people to access. And you know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on who you speak to, much more accessible even for free or for very low cost. So it's just a shift, I think. And you know, there's not much that one, I think, can really do about that. Except, you know, trust that there'll be enough people who know that, you know, particularly when artists are producing their own projects, that the money isn't really, you know, it's not going necessarily to the big wigs anymore. Plus, everyone's much more on top of contractual kinds of things with record companies than they used to be. I mean, back in the day, everyone was giving up their publishing money, you know, and so the record company wasn't, they were getting all of that money, you know.
Yeah.
But now people are a lot more savvy, and I think that the general consumer is aware, more aware of, you know, I mean, they can download for free if they want to, but I think, you know, anybody who really does that, you know, it's got to rub their conscience a little bit, you know.
I would imagine so.
That that's happening, and so I don't know, it's tricky, but you know, there's always a demand for music, and I mean, playing live is irreplaceable. You know, you can't. There's no substitute for that, and so, and that's where a lot of the real excitement is. As much as I enjoy making records, you know,
that's 100% correct. Live music is very, very healthy, and You know, it provides the nutrients that we need to live in this
environment. Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you. You've got a brand new album coming out called Dreamer. And when is that released?
Well, we had a little delay in production, some problems in the printers. But I think in the next week and a half or 2 weeks, it'll all be ready to ship. And if people are interested, they can either go to my website, kevinhayes.com, no E in the Kevin, and in the Hayes, there's E in the Kevin, or theartistshare.com, and you can check out the other projects that they're working on. They've got some great stuff up there.
Beautiful, man. Well, hey, great talking to you, Kevin.
Thank you
for coming on.
My pleasure.
All right.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. And if you would like to get more information regarding the Jazz Can, all the interviews archived at his website and held exclusively here on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio, all you have to do is go to www.thejazzcat.net. Can we make it any simpler than that? Thejazzcat.net gets you right there. And if you love good music, you love jazz, it's all archived there. It gives you an in-depth interview of all your jazz luminaries, up and coming, and some of them legends. Some of them have even passed on, and they're all there. Take a look at it, see what you think, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Again, the Jazz Cat will be back every Tuesday around 5:14 p.m. on For Locals Only show here on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. And he'll be back with another stellar interview, another jazz luminary.
Last night I think I saw your face like a photo out of frame in a smiling in the sun, and all I can see is you and me swimming far, swimming far. Into my eyes and say, my friend, can't you see the moon has risen? It fills the wild expanse that now is me. The wide expanse.